Okay, today's daf is Makos Daf Hey. Today's shir is sponsored by Lizecher Nishmas Rachel Hindel Brindel, Billy Kosofsky, Bas Alexander Ziskind, whose third yard site was Thursday, the 20th of Marcheshvan, and it's sponsored by her son Sam Kosofsky, daughter-in-law Maxine, and the entire Kosofsky family. We thank the Kosofsky family very much for the sponsorship, and the neshama shav aliyah through the zechus of our learning. It is also once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha ben Numan, the zechus for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya, and they should both be zocha to a refuah shlema b'soch shar chole Yisrael. So we are holding on the bottom of Daf Dalet and Beis. We didn't quite get to the mission on the top of Hayamud Aleph, but we got close. On the bottom of Daf Dalet and Beis, we're going to discuss first where we know the azhara freidim zomin, and where we know that there has to be achraza freidim zomin. In the Mishnah, we're going to have two opinions. Well, the Gemara on the Mishnah on Hayamud Aleph is going to have two opinions. Why we don't split malchus? Meaning the Mishnah is going to tell us that Edom Zomim, who are testify about a certain amount of money, they get to split the monetary payment, but about Malkus, they don't get to split the Malkus. So we're going to have two explanations. Why not? Why don't they get to split the Malkus amongst them? The Gemara is then going to have two sources that Azoma only works when you are Mazim, as the Mishnah says, when you're Mazim, the witnesses themselves. You say, Imanu Yisim, you were with us. If you say that the victim of the crime or the criminal that you're claiming was with us, that is not Hazama. So the Gemara is going to have two sources to indicate that that's true. And then we're going to have a series of statements that Rava makes about Hazama that the Gemara questions as being too obvious. That what is the Chiddush of Rava about in all three of these statements about Hazama that he discusses. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss if a woman brings two sets of Edim who are both caught to be lying, and then she brings a third set, so do we allow that? Do we say, you know, she already has a track record that we assume that everyone she's bringing seems to be lying, or do we say that it's fine as long as we can't prove these Edim to be liars, we're still going to accept them? We try to connect that machlokas to machlokas in our Mishnah, and then we suggest that it's not really the same machlokas. The Gemara is also going to derive the notion of Ein Onshin Min Adin. How we know Ein Onshin Min Adin, how we know Ein Mashirin Min Adin, and the Gemara is going to tell us that we can only kill Edim Zomimin if they are both found to be Zomimin. And there was one time that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabayi made a mistake about this, and because of the mistake that he made about this, he killed an innocent man. So that was an unfortunate story that the Gemara has right before the last Mishnah on Amud Beis. The last Mishnah on Amud Beis, which we probably won't get to today, discusses four different halachos from that we learn from the fact that the Torah says Al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yumas ames. Isn't it obvious that if you can kill based on two edim, of course you can kill based on three edim? Four different halachos that the Mishnah is going to derive from that pasuk. So let's begin, though. We left off at the four lines from the bottom of the page, at the end of the line. V'rabbanan haylo san v'recha et shakar may darshi be. What are the Rabbanan darshin from the pasuk of san v'recha et shakar? Because if you recall, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rameir and the Chachamim whether Edim Zomim get an extra malchus for losana, meaning in addition to kasher zamam, whatever they tried to give the other guy, so whether it be mamon, whether it be malchus, so they get punished with that, do they get an additional malchus for violating losan of recha et shaker? So the Chum said no. So what did the Rabbanan use losan of recha et shaker to teach? What are they going to darshan from losan of recha et shaker? So says Maran, we violate las hara leidim zomimin. They used it to teach the as hara for leidim zomimin. Meaning, in order to punish anybody with anything in the Torah, we not only need a pasuk that tells us that they get punished, we need a pasuk to tell us that they're not allowed to do it. So losan of recha et shaker is the Ashar of Freidim Zomim. Rameir Ashar of Freidim Zomim Minale. Where does Rameir learn the Ashar of Freidim Zomim? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah Nafkalei Mivahanisharim Yishmu V'yirou V'lo Yusifu Od. That everyone who hears about what happened to the Edim Zomim is going to hear about it, they're going to be afraid, and people won't do it again. So from it's from V'lo Yusifu Od that we learn the Ashar of Freidim Zomim. The Ashar doesn't have to be as strongly worded in terms of clearly as a prohibition, as an Onesh. So it could even be just a reference to the fact that this is not advisable behavior, like v'lo yosif uod, which is really pasha pshat sipur dvarim bialma, that people are going to hear this, so they're not going to want to do it again. But it's not really telling us don't do it. But yeah, that's enough for an asara. For Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will say no. From v'lo yosif uod, haumi ba'ile l'achraza. They need that to teach us the very notion of hachraza that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Peites, that there are ba'at tzrich and hachraza, that after they get punished in Beis Din, it's not enough to punish them. Beis Din needs to publicize the fact that they punished these people and for what they punished these people. So Edom Zomim requires hachraza. Rameir hachraza mi yishmu v'yiro nafka. And Rameir would say, yes, we do learn hachraza from that pasuk, but from the earlier words in the pasuk, from yishmu v'yiro. V'lo yusifu od is still extra to teach me the ashara for Edom Zomim. So that's the discussion. Now, when the Gemara asks the question, V'rabban ha'ilu son of Re'echa Yitzchakar, my darshibe, the Rashash points out, it means the Ratzalomer le'ezo drosha mukile asher ba'avura lo mahani l'milki shmonim echel mishum kasher zomim ve'echel mishum oso. Di'ilu hadim yibayle la'asar se'edei ben grusha zos le'yimno shilaka gam hacha ba'avura. He says it can't be if we were just use it to teach the Asara of Edi Ben Grusha, that would not be enough to tell us not to get Malkus from this Pasuk as well. We want to know, is there some other Drasha that will tell you that you can't get an extra Malkus in addition to the Malkus you're getting for the Kasher Zaman? Is there some other Drasha for it? That's the assumption. Says the Mishnah now. Mishalshin b'mamon ve'in mishalshin b'makos. Edim Zomun testified about a monetary case. They testified that somebody owed $200, so the Edim get to split that payment amongst them. Each of the Edim Zomim will only have to pay $100, but they do not split a Malkus. If they testify that someone is Chayiv Malkus, then the Edim do not get to split the number of Malkios between them. If they testify someone owes 200 Zuz and they're found to be Zomim, so they divide up the money between them. But if they testify that someone is chayiv malchus arbaim and they turn out to be zomim, each of them is going to be chayiv 40 malchios. So they don't get to split the malchus punishment. The lashon is a little bit unusual. Mishalshin, the Rashash points out, mishalshin sounds like he divided it up into three parts. The typical case of edim zomim is that there's only two. So the Rashash writes v'linira d'shigras lishna. That this is a Shigras Lishna that the Gemara has in other places where it makes sense. The Mishnayos have in other places where it makes sense. So we use the same Lashna over here. But in a Chinami, it's really got nothing to do with three, meaning we'll see by Malkus, Lechara makes more sense to have a Havamin of Mishalshin if there's three, because it's a number that's divisible by three. It's not a number that's divisible by two. You get 39 Malkios. It's very hard to divide that into two even parts. But when it comes to Malkios, when it comes to three, you could divide it into three even parts pretty easily. The Cheshek Shlomo and other Achronim also raise a suffix. I think we mentioned it the other day. We said Mishalshin B'mamon. What if each guy is not going to get a Shava Pruta? Would you then say you're Mechayiv Malkus? Meaning, let's say together the two Edim testify that this guy owes a Shava Pruta, and then they're found to be Zomim. So Mishalshin B'mamon, they're each only going to have to pay half a Pruta. Well, a half a Pruta is not real payment. If it's not real payment, maybe we should give these Edim Malkus. So that's what the Cheshek Shlomo raises that suffix, that do the Rabbanan only pater for Malkus because Shtei Rishayos, you can't give two punishments to the Edim Zomim? Well, if it's Pachos Mishav Pruta, then it's not called Shtei Rishayos, because if you're Chavu B'Chaveru Pachos Mishav Pruta, the halach is you get Malkus. We don't say that that you're pater because of Shtei Rishayos. It's not Shtei Rishayos if the monetary payment is only Pachos Mishav Pruta. However, he says maybe over there it's different, because over there you don't have to pay any money at all. Pachos Mishav Pruta, we consider it's like a mechila. But over here, since together they're going to have to pay a pruta, the guy is going to have to be reimbursed a pruta, they're going to have to actually pay that Pachos Mishav Pruta. Maybe that taka would be called Shtei Rishayos, Mishav Rishachas Atta Mechayv Mishav Shtei Rishayos, because they actually have to pay it. So that's the... That's the shayla that the Cheshek Shlomo raises. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili. How do we know that this is true? Why you don't split Malkios? So Amar Abaye, Nemar Rasha b'chayv Malkios, Nemar Rasha b'chayv Mises Beisdin, Malalan ein Misa Lemechza, Afkan ein Malkios Lemechza, because it's pashut that you don't split a Misa, meaning if two Eidim testify that a guy's chayv Misa, they are going to both get killed. We don't split it. We don't half kill them. So we compare Misa to Malkus, the word Rasha appears by both, so Malkus also doesn't get split. Rava Amar Bin Kashazam Lasos Lo Achiv Veleka. Rava says, no, the point is, it wouldn't be a fulfillment of Kashazaman. You have to do to them what they tried to do to the other guy. If each of them only gets 20 Malkios, you're not doing to them what they tried to do to the other guy. They tried to get the other guy 40 Malkios. So, Frakting Mari Hachim Amanami, well, then by money also, if they testify that he owes 200 Zuz, so they're not getting the full 200 Zuz. So, answer. This Gemara is somewhat cryptically, Mamon Mitztaref, Malkus Lo Mitztaref. Yeah, but money combines, Malkus doesn't combine. So says Rashi, what does that mean? Mamon Mitztaref, Vere Kibel Masheratu Lafsido Ben Kulam. But when it comes to Mamon, what Rashi seems to be saying, it's not about giving them what they tried to, punishing them with what they tried to give the other guy. It's about reimbursing the guy that they tried to make him chayiv the Mamon. So reimbursing him for Mamon that he never actually really lost, because it's a kashazam v'lo kasharas, right? He never actually lost the money, but it's about paying him that amount of money. It's kiilu, a reimbursement. As opposed to Malkus, the guy that they testified against has no benefit or pleasure from the fact that these Edim are getting Malkus. So it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with the Edim. So the Malkus has to be about the Edim themselves. So what did they try to do to the other guy? That's the punishment that they received. That's what Rashi seems to say is the chiluk. This seems to assume that Mamon is a din ben adam l'chavero, whereas Malkus is a din ben adam l'makom, right? That's what Rashi seems to be assuming. That since the Mamon, the chiv Mamon, is to that guy, they have to pay it to that guy, so he has to get reimbursed, the full Mamon. But Malkus has nothing to do with that guy, it's ben adam l'makom, it's between them and the Ribbono Shlom, so they have to get what they tried to give to the other guy. Not all the Achronim are convinced that that is what the Gemara means when it says Mamon mitzarif. Others suggest that Mamon mitzarif Tarif means that money is purely a quantity issue, meaning $100 is exactly one half of $200. Malkus is not a quantity issue, meaning when one gets 20 Malkus, the 21st is much more painful than the first or than any of the previous ones. So it has this cumulative effect. So you're not actually getting half of what you tried to give to the other guy when you get half of the Malkios. You're getting much, much less than half of what you tried to give to the other guy, because the pain increases exponentially as you give more Malkios. So that's the suggestion as to why it is that we make this chiluk between Mamon and Malkus. It's interesting, the idea of Meshalshim Mamon, Rav Zilberstein and Chashuk Yechemet raises the question, what if two people together kill someone's behema? One of them kills him directly, you know, throws a rock right at the animal, and the other one does it b'derech garmi. He throws rocks against the wall and it hits the animal. Either one had enough koach to kill the animal. Are they both chayiv? Someone who kills someone else's animal directly is chayiv mamon midaraisa. He has to pay for it. Someone who kills bederech garmi, it would only be chayiv on a drabanan level b'taras knas. So maybe we should only be mechayiv the first guy, because if you're going to make a knas on the second guy, the first guy is going to benefit from this. The first guy is going to turn out to be better off, because he's only going to have to pay half of the money. So it's not yashrus that the rabbanan are going to make a knas on the second guy to benefit the first sinner, to benefit the first guy who did this. So Rav Zilberstein says, l'chora, this relates to our Mishnah. Mishalshin b'mamon, Rashi says, you have three edim or four, mishalshin b'nehem. That's the lashon of mishalshin, that no matter how many edim you have, you divide it up amongst them. So it turns out, the more edim that did the avera, the better off it is for each of them. They together, they bear the brunt of the punishment. So the Gvuras Ari asked the Kasha, why does it talk about three Edom? He should have just said Stam Edom. Why do we have to talk about three? Stam Edom is two. So he suggests that, you know, the Mishnah we're going to have at the end of today's daf, which we're probably not going to get to, where we talk about Shnayim Edom or Shlosha Edom, teaches us that Lo Bashlishi Lahakel Ela Lahachmir La Velasos Dino Keyotzibam, that the third aid is treated with every bit as much stringency as the others, even though the third aid was not really needed. The others could have committed the crime without the third aid. So you might have thought that that's Dafka by Onshim Shabaguf, where the Knas, we punish the Nitfala Over Avera, because through the Knas to the Nitfala Over Avera, the Over Avera themselves aren't going to benefit anything, because everyone is going to get the full Misa, everyone's going to get the full Malkus. But you might have had a Hava Mina, says the Gvura Sari, that by Mammon, where you're Mishalshal, where they all divide it, that we would not make a Knas on that third guy, that he should also participate. He wasn't even needed. The testimony would have stood with the first two. So now you're going to benefit the first two by including the third guy in the punishment? You might have thought not to do that. Kamash Malan that you do. So says Rav Zilberstein, you see that we apply a knas to an extra party, even though he wasn't needed, on top of the din d'oraisa that you have on the original people. That's what Rav Zilberstein suggests. Says the Mishnah now. The only way to make Edom Zomen is if the Hazama goes on the Edom themselves. Ketzad, Amrum Edom Anubish Ploni Shargas HaNefesh. Two Edom testify that someone killed somebody. Amr Lahem, so the Edom Hazama come and say, Hey Chatem Edom Sharei Neherag Zeh O Ahorig Zeh Hayimanu Aso Hayimakom Ploni. How could you testify that Reuven killed Shimon? Either Reuven or Shimon was with us on that day, and that's why you can't testify. That is not Hazama. Avram Lahem Hey Chatem Edom Sharei Atem Yisimimanu Aso Hayimakom Ploni Harei Luzom Neherag In Alpiem. But if they say, how could you testify you were with us Bosayom in a different place? That's Hazama, and that's when you would kill them. Bo Achirim V'Zimum. Mishnah discusses, what if the new sets of Edom keep on coming and being Mazim? So two Edom come Mazim, the original two Edom, then another two are Mazim, the second two, then another two are Mazim. Keeps on happening. Afilu Meya. Even if it happens 100 times, Kulam Yahargu. Whoever are the groups that were Huzam in the end of the day are all killed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Istatisizu. Ve'enu Nerag El Kasar Rishonu Bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, something's wrong over here. This is, if it keeps coming, then to more Mazim this one, then the more Hazam, something's wrong. Something is dishonest over here. We can only kill the first group that had become Zomim. We cannot continue to kill every other group of Edom that also became Zomim. So the Gemara is going to discuss, well, if we suspect that something's wrong, why would you kill the first group? You should just throw the whole thing out and say we're not going to kill anybody. That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. But first, Minani Mili. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that Hazama only works when it's on the Gufo Shel Edom and not when you testify that the Horeg or the Neherag were Imanu Yisim, we're with you somewhere else. So Amar Avad, Domer Kra, Vine Eid Sheker Eid, Sheker Ona. Ad Shetashaker, Gufa Shaleid. It's a Sheker Eid. That has to be that you're Meshaker, the Eidim themselves. Rabbi Debe Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Lanos Bosara, Ad Shetisra, Gufa Shaleidus. That you have to be Lanosara, the Gufa Shaleidus. You have to attack the Gufa Shaleidus. Amar Rava, Boshnaim Va'amru. So Rav is going to say, as we said before, three consecutive statements that the Gemara is going to question as obvious. So statement number one, Amar Rava, Boshnaim Va'amru B'mizrach Bira Harak Ploni Yasa Nefesh. Two Edom testify that someone killed somebody in the eastern side of the building. At the very moment you claim that crime happened, you were with us on the western side of the building. So how do we assume that that's called Imanu Yisem somewhere else? They were in the same building, but on the other side of the building. So Rava says, very simple. Chazinan, Ike dekaim marav bira mechsa chazi, lemizrach bira, ein elizomim. If you're able to see from one side of the Bira to the other, so that's not Azama. They were in that Makam. They were in a place where they could have witnessed the crime, even though they were on the western side of the Bira. The Imlav, but if you're not able to see from one side to the other, Hare Luzom, and then Ataka is Hazama, because they were in a place where they couldn't have seen the crime. Says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious? Isn't that obviously, Imanu Isim B'Makom Ploni has to be a Makom that you couldn't have seen the crime. If it was a Makom that you can see the crime, then obviously that's not Azama. So Mal Detema Lechesh Nehura Barya. Now, one might have thought that you have to be Choshesh, that maybe these witnesses had really fantastic eyesight. So even though we can't see from the Marav Bira to the Mizrach Bira, maybe they're able to see because they have very clear eyesight. So Kamash Mlan, that's why it comes to teach us, no, we judge based on normal people. We don't assume, we're not Choshesh, that these people talk have this unusual eyesight. So there's discussion in the poskim, what if we know that they have this amazing eyesight? Meaning, is it that we're not Choshesh for it? But if we know, so then, and even though normal people can't see, so then we say they're not going to be Azama because we know that they were capable of seeing it. Or no, the requirement of Azama is just that you prove that they were in a place that normal people could not have seen it. V'yomar Rava. Rava says the second statement. Bo shnayim v'amru b'sura b'tzafra b'chad b'shabata harag ploni asanefesh. In Sura, in the morning, on Sunday morning, Reuven killed Shimon. Ubo shnayim v'amru, another two eidim come and say, b'panya b'chad b'shabata imanu yisim ben arda. I don't know where you are Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon, you were in the Harda'ah, you were not in Surah. You were with us in Harda'ah just a few hours after you claim to have witnessed the murder. So, Chazinan, imi tzafra lepanya matzi azam yisul in Harda'ah, lav azam min. That's not azama if you're able to travel that distance from Surah to Harda'ah in that amount of time, from the morning to the afternoon. So if you're able to get there, then that's not called azam min. Aye, they might say, you didn't look too shaken up, you didn't look like someone who had just witnessed a murder. It's irrelevant. That's not azama if you're able to get from one place to the other. V'ilav hav azomin, but if you could not get there, then it is considered zomin. So says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious? So again, mal detema lechosh legam laparcha. One might have thought that you have to be choshesh, that maybe even though normal people can't get from Surah to Narda in just a few hours, maybe these people had flying camels that were able to get them from Surah to Narda in such a short amount of time. So Kamash Mulan therefore tells us, you don't have to worry about the Gamla Parcha. What kind of chashash is that? That they have flying camels? So says Rashi, Min Gmalim Ye Shem Kalim B'Murutzasim Ka'of HaPareach. There was no such thing as flying camels, meaning we're not actually Choshesh. It's not a Havamina that we'd be Choshesh for flying camels. There were a certain type of camel that was faster than other types of camels. So you might have thought that these people owned a race car. So a race car can get there faster than a regular car. Yeah, there is such a thing as a race car. Most people don't drive race cars. So you don't have to assume that they got there. Nowadays, it wouldn't make a difference. You have a race car, you don't. You're not getting there because of traffic. But we don't assume that the guy has a race car. But it's an actual realistic thing because it has to be something that has that there's a hava mina like that. There's a discussion in Poskim in general. When do we take modern forms of transportation into account? Meaning a car can go a lot faster than a camel. So do we say, oh, that's a gamla parcha? Not good enough. You can't bake them edim zomin because they're not choshesh for gamla parcha. So some of the acharim suggest from Rashi, it sounds like this was a davar shchiach, that there was this min gamel that lots of people had, and even though it was a davar shchiach, the gedarim of edim zomin are such that it's based on how you would go by natural means, by a regular camel, not by an unusually fast camel, even though it's a davar shchiach. Hard to imagine. It's not very mistaver to assume that way, but that's why there is a group of poskim that therefore apply to Hilchas Avelus, for example. The halacha is if someone was not in town when their relative died, and then but they could have gotten there within a day, but they weren't in town, and they didn't discover that the relative died till the seventh day of Shiva. They show up and they see their whole family sitting Shiva together with the Gadol Abayis, so the Nitva the Gadol Abayis. They could just finish Shiva with the family and Shloshim with the family, and their Nitva because they were within a day's journey. What's a day's journey? Is a day's journey a day's journey? journey in the times of Chazal, or is it nowadays anywhere on planet Earth is a day's journey? You can always get there within a day. So some of the poskim use this Gemara as a raya that if you assume like Rashi that even if it's a common form of transportation, but we're not choshish for common forms of transportation, we're choshish for normal ways of being able to travel. That's what the Shaul HaMeshiv writes in a tshuva. That is not at all I don't think that's at all the accepted opinion. In the Chalkas Yaakov, he was asked about the same thing, about someone who came from who got news from New York, and they were in Europe, and they could have easily on an airplane. You can get there very very quickly. So he shows from the Lashonos of the Rishonim and the Poskim that the inyan of Arsara Parsaos, which is a Mahalich Yom Echad, is not a Gzeres Hakasov. They were just estimating how far you can get in a single day. But that's what it's all about. It's about being able to travel in a single day. You have such a similar suffix when it comes to Ilchas Brachos, right? How far away do you have to be from where you ate the meal if you forgot to bench until you go back? So is it an amount of time, or is it the amount of time that it would take to walk that distance? But you can make it back because you're driving a car. How far do you have to go for a minyan? All of these things. Do we judge it by the amount of time? So I think most of the poskim assume that if you have if your mode of transportation is a car, that you would take the amount of time that if it's a kedei hiluch meal that you have to go. So it's 18 minutes by car, lavdafka 18 minutes by foot. But that's a major discussion in contemporary poskim. V'yama Rava, third statement of Rava. Bo shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shabbat ha'or plonias nefesh. Two Edom come and say on Sunday Reuven killed Shimon. Bo shnayim v'amru manu yisim b'chad b'shabbat el b'shtrei b'shabbat ha'or plonias nefesh. No, you're with us on Sunday, but you're right. Reuven killed Shimon. He did it on Monday. V'lo oda afilu amru erev shabbos ha'or plonias nefesh. Even if they say that he had done it already the previous Friday, hare il ne'eragin. They get killed for being Edom Zomim. Because at the time that they testified that this guy is Chayav Misa, he was not already Chayav Misa, even if he had already committed that very same crime, but he was not already Chayav Misa. He only becomes Chayav Misa when based in Paskins that he's Chayav Misa. So that's why Rashi says my time by the time Tuesday rolls around when they actually say the Eidos Akati Gavra Lav Bar Katala, he's not yet a Bar Katala. Shalo hu ad alav bebezdin, because there was no testimony against him in Bezdin to that point, even though he had already committed the crime. V'yolav asiyu moda have a miftar, and at that point he would come and be modi to be potter. So nimsu sheima mechayv and misa. They were actually trying to be mechayv and misa, someone who did not, as mishein aroy lama, someone who did not yet deserve to die. So says Mar Mike Kamashmalan, what's the chiddush? Tanina, we already learned. Tofich achadim nimsay im nimsay sechad achas. That if one of them is found to be zomim, so they and the originals get killed, and the second one is potter. So it says Mara Seifa Masha'in Kain Begemardin Tzrichle. Now the chiddush is the Masha'in Kain Begemardin, that if there was already a gemardin, then the halach is different as follows. Bo shnayim va'amru bechad b'shabbata nigmardino shel ploni. Two edim come and say that on Sunday, not that the crime happened on Sunday, the gemardin happened on Sunday, that he's Chayiv Misa. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shabbat imanu yisem. No, the Gemardin, you could not have known about a Gemardin happening on Sunday, because on Sunday you were with us. Ela be'erev Shabbos nigmardino shoploni. But you know what? There was a Gemardin against this guy, that he's Chayiv Misa. That Gemardin happened 2 days earlier. It happened on Erev Shabbos. V'lo od el afilu amru b'trei b'shabbat nigmardino shoploni. Even if they say that it happened on Monday that there was a Gemardin, that meaning that the Gemardin happened after you claim the Gemardin happened. Ein elu ne'eragin, these Edom do not get killed, tebe'ina dekomisadi gavra bar katalu, because they are testifying about somebody who is in fact already a bar katala, because he already had a Gemardin. Meaning, since they're not showing up to Bezin to tell us this story until Tuesday, even if the Gemardin happened after they say the Gemardin happened, but by the time they're telling us the story, the Gemardin already did happen, so they're testifying about a dead man. And the same is true when it comes to Tashlumei Knas. So Rashi points out, normally Modeh B'Knas is Potter. It has the same din as Dinei Nefashos. That there's a difference between an edus on the guf hamaisa and an edus on the gemar din. Two edim come and say that on Sunday this guy stole and shechted and sold. So you chayv dal vehei. Ubo shnayim va'amru b'chad b'shabbat imanu isem. No, you can't know what he did on Sunday. You were with us on Sunday. Ela betray b'shabbat agan v'tavuch machar. But you're right. He did exactly that crime, but he did it the following day. Mishalman. They're going to have to pay. They are edim zomin, and therefore they have to pay because they testified about a person who was not yet chayiv. He's not yet chayiv until Beis Din declares him as chayiv. So they were testifying about an innocent man. V'lo od elafilu amru be'erev Shabbos gan v'tavach u'machar mishalman. Not only that, they're going to be edim zomin even if the day that they testified the crime happened, it had already happened 2 days earlier. Still, we consider it that they testified about an innocent man because Beis Din had not yet declared that man to be guilty. At the time that they testified, this guy was not yet chayiv. That knas. If two people come and say that on Sunday this guy was ganav tavach u'machar and had a gemar din, so they're claiming the gemar din happened on Sunday, that Beis Din declared him to be chayiv on Sunday, and then another two edim come and say, no, you don't know anything about Sunday, but it happens to be he actually had a gemar din for this knas on Friday, so by the time you're testifying, the Gemar Din had long happened already, so it was actually true. And even if they say that the Gemar Din happened after you claim it happened, but it happened before you testified, you claim the Gemar Din happened on Sunday, but today's Tuesday that you're telling us this, and the Gemar Din really happened on Monday. Ain Mishalman. The beginning of Kavasadi Gavra Bar Tashlumenu. These Edom are not Edom Zobimin, because at the moment that they testify on Tuesday about this person being Chayiv the Knas, he already is Chayiv the Knas. He already did have the Gemar Din, so that they do not become Edom Zobimin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer is Status Izu. So then we said in the Mishnah that if it keeps on happening, you're Imanu Yisim, and another set of Edom, Imanu Yisim, it keeps on happening over and over again. Rabbi Yehuda says at some point we say, no, this can't be right. You know, something is wrong over here, and therefore we're only going to kill the first set. So says Gemara, whoa, you know, the first half of the sentence, we were going good, right? This can't be right. So, and therefore you're going to kill somebody if it can't be right. You shouldn't kill the first set either if it's an istatis. No, the case is that what happened? Two Edom testified against someone that he killed someone, then two other Edom came and said, Imanu Yisam. So right away, you know, we're not Ma'an of the Din. Right away, we killed the first set of Edom. And then it just kept on happening. So that we put a stop to it. We can't bring them back to life. We can't undo what we already did. But so that's what it means. We only killed the first set of Edom because we have already done it before we realized, before we chapped, that there was something wrong over here. So says Gemara, what do you mean? Might have a hava, meaning if it's kadmu vahargu, meaning there was an unfortunate circumstance. So the fact that you killed the first set is not a halacha. The fact that you killed the first set is a mistake. Why would you record that as a halacha? That Rabbi Yehuda says is not this is therefore we kill the first set. No, therefore we kill nobody is the halacha. If you kill the first set, I understand you can't perform tchias ameisim shkayach, but that's not something that you would record as a halacha. Ela amar Rava hachi kamar imena elakas achas nehareg. Yes. If it's only one kat of Edom, then they get killed. Ikatfei ein eragin. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean to say we only kill one of the sets when there were 100 sets of Edom. He says if there's only one set, that's when we kill. But once it starts building up more than one set of Edom, we say something wrong is happening. So it says mar habilvad ka'amar. It says bilvad, which makes it sound like there are many sets of Edom, and yet we're still killing one kat. Says Mar Kasha, that's difficult. It's difficult to answer. It's not a tiyufta, but it's Kasha. The Gemara tells, forget about the Mishnah for a second. There's a story in Amoraim. There was a woman who brought witnesses and they were found to be false. Aisi Sadi Vishtakra. She brought another set of witnesses. They too were found to be false. Aza Aisi Sadi Achrini Delo Shtakra. Finally, she brought a set of witnesses that were not found to be false. Amar Reish Lakish Huchsa Kazu. Reish Lakish says, she already has a chazaka that she brings Eidei Sheker. We cannot accept these witnesses, even if we can't prove anything about them. It just smells. Amar Le Rav Lazar, Im Hi Huchsaka Kol Yisrael Mi Huchsaku. She may be Muchzakas as someone who's willing to bring anyone to testify falsely on her behalf. But do you have any cheskas, any reyusa on these edim? Why, you think that she's always going to be able to find Jews willing to lie? We have no, you can't say a reyusa on all of Klal Yisrael. So zimnun aviyasi kamed Rabbi Yochanan, asikai maisa lekamayu. Unbelievably, they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and the same type of story happened, where someone kept on bringing edim, they were found to be shakranim. So Amrei Reish Lakish huchsukazu. Reish Lakish says, this woman huchsuk. Amrei Rabbi Yochanan, im huchsukazu, kol Yisrael mi huchsuku. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if this woman was huchsuk, is huchsuk as a reisa, so you think everyone is huchsuk? So now Reish Lakish chaps that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said such a svara, that kol Yisrael mi huchsuku. Initially when Reish Lakish was saying it, Rabbi Lazar said this svara. And now Reish Lakish chaps, Rabbi Lazar didn't know this svara on his own. This was something he must have heard from Rabbi Yochanan. He used the same lashon. He hears the Rebbe say the same lashon. You know where the Talmud got it, if the Rebbe says the same lashon. So hadachazil Rabbi Lazar bishus. So Reish Lakish looks at Rabbi Lazar like, how could you? How could you not quote Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan, you have to say something b'shem amro. So amr lei shamit mili mimbar nafcha v'lo amr li mishmei. You said something in the name of Bar Nafcha. You said something that you heard from Bar Nafcha, and you don't tell me. You don't tell it to me in his name. How could you not tell it to me in his name? So the Paras Yosef over here points out that the Ritva asks, so Taka, why not? You know, Reb Lazar was a Migdolei Amoraim. Well, why wouldn't he say it in his name? He says Yeshlom Mishum Shama Mishum Delo Shama Behedyam in Rabbi Yochanan El Blashon Tema Al Korch Lam Mishmei. I mean, maybe he wasn't sure about the tone of Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rabbi Yochanan meant it as a psak or as like a kasha. So he wanted to say, so he was saying it for himself as a psak. Ordinarily, says the Paras Yosef, the Mishum Hachi Dictek Reish Lakish Ramer Shamet Mili De Bar Nafcha Pirush Avgav Del Shamet El Mili. Even though you only heard it, you know, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, even though you maybe didn't hear it, that you only heard the words rather, and you didn't hear Mefurish, that's what he paskin, you still should have at least mentioned where you got the idea. That saying something b'shem amro is not only when you know for sure that that's what he meant, but even if that's what gave you the idea. It seems that this machlokas amoraim is exactly the machlokas tanaim. Do we at some point say istatis izu and we say we just can't listen to anything, or do we just follow the normal rules and kill every other set of edim? So amilach Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish would tell you, you know, another amilach afilu rabbanan. I could even follow the rabbanan who say you kill every other set of edim, but I would still reject this woman's third set of edim. Ad kan lo kam rabbanan hasam deleka de kamahader. The rabbanan only say you kill every other set of edim because there doesn't seem to be anyone that keeps bringing them in. They just seem to come on their own. So there's no chazaka that there's someone that's pulling the strings over here. This case is worse because this woman is clearly hiring these people. Rabbi Yochanan would say, you know what, I would even say like Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks it's status izu in our Mishnah, and even though I accept this woman's third pair of edim, because it just it challenges the reality to suggest that all of these people were together in the same spot. But over here, all we need is two people. Meaning, we know that the first two were liars and weren't there. So two people know the edus, and that's not difficult to imagine that such a reality could exist. Zok the Mishnah: Ein edim zomen aragin ad sheyigmar adin. Edim zomen only get killed if there was a gemar din as a result of their edus. Shared stukim omer actually a harik that stukim said they only become edim zomin when they actually already killed the guy. Shenemar nefesh tachas nefesh. So nefesh tachas nefesh. The person has to have died. Omer lem chachamim. So the chacham said to the stukim, v'lo kvar nemar v'sisim lo kasher zomam lasos liachiv. Meaning it's kasher zomam, and you expect the mishnah to say kasher zomam v'lo kasher asa, but the mishnah never uses that lashon. That's the lashon of rishonim. But that's what it means. Very achiv kai. So it doesn't focus on that. And the guy means that the guy is still alive. It can't be that they already killed him. So why does it say nefesh tachas nefesh? Then what does that teach me? That we don't kill the edim zomin as soon as their edus was accepted. It has to have gotten to a certain point. It has to be that their edus was accepted and there was gemar din. Then they become edim zomin. So it has to be dafka in that window. After the Gemar Din, but before we actually did anything about the Gemar Din. If they have not killed the guy they testified against, then we kill the Edom. But Hargu, if they already killed him, ain't Narugin. We don't kill the Edom. Amar Aviv Bini, Lav Kalvachomeru? Isn't that a Kalvachomer that you should kill the Edom if they actually killed the guy that they testified against? Meaning, if we're even going to kill them when they hadn't killed anybody, of course when they have killed someone. You're right, it's a good Kalvachomer, but Einon Shemin Adin. We don't punish based on the Kalvachomer. Detanya, how do I know Einon Shemin Adin? Isha Shayika Chasachos Obasov Obasimo. A man who takes his sister, who sleeps with his sister, the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. Those are two types of half sister. Basimo basav minayin. How do I know that even a full sister? Tamalomer ervas hachosu gila. An extra phrase in the pasuk to tell me a full sister. Well, actually, yomer yeshli bedin. Why do I need an extra phrase? Imanah shal basav shlo basimo basimo shlo basaviv. If you're chayy for a half sister in either direction, basav basimo lo kolshkein. If she's both basav and basimo, of course. So why do I need an extra phrase? Halmad sheinon shemin adin because they know. Is similar to Joshua for Asara. Talmalomar Evers Hachos Basavicha Basimecha. Eliel Basav Shlo Basim Basim Shlo Basav. Same idea. Basav U Basimo Minayin. How do I know if she's both a full sister? Talmalomar Evers Basavicha 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 Achoschahi. Because it says Achoschahi. Achlo Yomer Yeshlim Adin. Maumusa Al Basim Shlo Basav Basav Shlo Basim Basav Basim Lo Golshkein. Isn't it obvious if for a half sister, so for sure a full sister is Asar? Halamad Shein Onshin Adin. That teaches us Ein Onshin Min Adin. Okay, we'll have to stop there, short of the Mishnah. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Chavi Maltios Minayim.